When I was in my early teens, just a couple decades ago, one of my earliest jobs was a paper route I threw for the Sun-Telegram during my junior high years. It was a good job. It kept me out of trouble for a while, but it was certainly tiring. It's crazy to think about it now. If only I had a fraction of that energy that I had back then. I would get up at 4 in the morning, ride my bike a couple miles to the pickup point, which was a couple miles from my house, run my route, come home, get ready for school, go to school, and then I had baseball practice after that. You certainly couldn't do that today. It would be way too dangerous, right? And one weekend, I remember, after a long morning of folding about 200 papers, I was turning towards home. And I decided to cut across this yard on the way home. I thought to myself, I'm tired. There's no need to go all the way to the end of the street when I can cut across this yard and save a little energy and time. First time I did it, I have to admit, I did entertain a little guilt. You have to realize that this was a well-manicured lawn and yard. Theoretically, something told me I shouldn't, but practically I rationalized around the wrong. In less than 2 weeks, my bicycle tires had begun to wear a narrow path on that beautiful dichondra lawn. By then, I knew in my heart, I really should be going to the end of the street and around the corner, but I didn't. I shoved all those guilt feelings right down and out of sight. By the end of the third week, a small but very obvious sign appeared on the sidewalk, and it read, "Keep off the grass, no bikes." Everything but my name was on that sign. And I must confess, I ignored it. I went around the sign and rode right over the path, glancing at the sign as I went by. Admittedly, I felt worse. Why? Well, the sign identified my sin, which in turn intensified my guilt. But what was the most interesting thing? That sign didn't stop me from crossing that yard. And as a matter of fact, it held a strange fascination and somehow persuaded me to further on. I've titled this message this evening, "What's Your Convictions?" And this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a man who was a sign from God. He pointed out the sins of the priest and of the people. This man is the last prophet in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, we don't hear of another prophet for 400 years. That's the framework between Malachi and John the Baptist. We simply don't know who God's spokesman was. The prophets were silent. However, God was working. And one world empire after another rose and fell. Malachi. The Hebrew name means my messenger. He wrote absolutely nothing about himself and everything about the message. We have no biblical information about him, his calling, or his personal life. But the important thing is not about the messenger, it's about the message. Malachi directs his message especially to the priest of that day, who instead of living lives above reproach, were guilty of breaking the very laws that they were supposed to obey and teach. The way they were serving the Lord was a disgrace to his name. They were dishonoring God with their very lives. The temple had been rebuilt, and the sacrifices had resumed before Malachi came on the scene. The walls of Jerusalem had also been constructed. Many good things had been achieved in the long, torturous task of rebuilding the nation. But while good things had happened, it was still a dark time. There's a spirit of dull depression which had settled over the people. Skepticism, spiritual indifferences had settled over the people and over the entire nation. Skepticism had people in its grasp. And the flood of skepticism was abroad in the land, and affected both the people and also the religious leaders. Religion became largely a matter of ritual. The book of Malachi is shocking. We are surprised to find the Jewish nation in such a terrible state after the Babylonian captivity. By the time Malachi came on the scene, the captivity had been over for more than 100 years. That may seem like a substantial period of time. And the captivity was such a traumatic event that you would think that the lessons would not have been forgotten. But the people in Malachi's generation were, they were showing signs of doing just that very same thing. The nation began to disregard her special covenant relationship with God as both the priest and the people plunged into a sinful behavior. While they kept up the various religious observances, the priest and the people quite obviously, they did not have it in their hearts as they were doing it. Malachi was called to perform a difficult and dangerous task. He took a wise approach and anticipated the objections of the people, and he met them head on. This is what God says, declares the prophet. The Old Testament prophets were often the only people in the community